I love inside jokes. Love to be a part of one someday.
People just need to chill out a little bit on some of this stuff.
60% of the time, it works every time.
For the children.
Hey, freaks.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
AM 770 KTH, Brian Suits here. Vice President Kamala Harris will visit Arizona on Friday. That'd be today, for the close of the news cycle, because they want this stuff on the chat shows on Sunday. Because in the ecosystem of the 202 area code, it's all about them. So deploy your Kamala, and then it will be on Meet the Press on NBC, guaranteed. They're going to have a special courier, you know, get their SD card on that. Vice President Kamala Harris will visit Arizona on Friday to highlight reproductive rights and women's health care. Just days after the Supreme Court ruled that in 1864, got to have that in there. That's like the Boeing of grievance. Near total abortion ban is enforceable. By the way, AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here on your Friday with fill-in, fully functional producer, two-footed Wyatt. Two-footed Greg is, I asked him, you know, how's it going?
Yeah, he's been a busy bee this week.
Yeah, filling in for the Big Dave. And so I think Big Dave is on vacation or something. Because I know I've had ample room to park. And I haven't had to cop park, you know, back in. I could park normal style because there's not a Dave Frostmobile right next to me.
Yeah, there you go. It kind of more room to park and get comfy this week.
I still cop park, though, because our salespeople take up that center column and they can't stay in the lines or something. So the vice president's office said she will visit Tucson to continue her leadership in the fight for reproductive freedoms. And I imagine she chuckled as she was running that, or if she didn't. As the ruling brings the viral swing state to the forefront of abortion politics, and they're terrified of the Republicans today fixing this. Which, by the way, if I was ahead of the Arizona GOP, I would say, here's your message. Get this done today. Bring it to the floor. Whatever fix you didn't want to vote on the other day, fix it and do it while she's in the air. Because when she's at the airport talking about grievance and women's health care, Republicans hate women and they hate all babies until they're born, or they love all babies till they're born. That's the thing. They love all babies till they're born. Then when they're born, Republicans stop having compassion and all that. So the Republicans, Kamala will deliver remarks slamming, shocker, former President Donald Trump for his record and rhetoric about abortion. And she's going to say they already gave these remarks, just like the Biden ad, Trump did this. Here's what a second Trump term will look like. More bans, more suffering, less freedom. But we are not going to let that happen. Pause for applause. Go back in. And so anyway, the governor of Arizona exercised an 1864 law that made the governor have this this power to direct the AG to direct all the counties in your Arizona that they will not be, the state money will not be funding any pro-abortion prosecutions. Or if you prosecute someone from that 1864 law, well, first of all, it's going to be mid-June because it doesn't, if they don't fix it, which they're going to do, it will come into effect after 60 days. So that's going to be like, you know, whatever, June 12th. And I'm just saying that would be my branding thing, is to point out before she even lands that it's the fix has been voted on and it's now awaiting the governor's signature. And it's not a 50-50 or Republican supermajority, anything like that. It's a pretty tight legislature, and yes, you will get the Democratic votes to vote on it because they don't think like this. But if one of them does, then you got a problem. But if they don't, then you don't have a problem and all that. But I don't know. I'm not obsessed with the Otani thing, but I didn't read all the. I hope he has burner phones, but it's a baseball story and it's baseball season. But I got glowing reviews on this morning montage. It's a little fat, a little long, but you know what? I stand by it because it's been a very newsy week, and here's how it went. For you people who can't be bothered to awake To be awake when the rest of us are going to work at 6 a.m. Here it is. Here's your do-over.
Three different times, someone drove onto sidewalks and deliberately struck a homeless person.
My uncle's just saying that the people out here need to take more.
Then, on April 1st, Burbank was sworn in Thurston County, sparking outrage within his community.
Two-bedroom apartment, $2,200. Who the f- can afford that?
Many of these kids are known to police.
The Snohomish County Sheriff's Office says that they were chasing a vehicle believed to have an adult kidnapping victim inside the car.
Police in Renton are looking for a teenage raft. Officers also recovered a fully loaded AK-47 pistol.
The Amber Alert went out, and I looked at my phone, and I saw that it was her.
He threatened to, quote, bring an assault rifle to campus and shoot all you pig Jews.
We are
Please
leaving.
Leave our house now!
We are
you must acquit.
His cases jump-started my career, and yet he was a murderer.
I don't feel anything emotionally except for rage. 24/7, 365, at 1,000,000%.
I'm running to close the border, stop inflation, make our economy great, strengthen our military, and make the ACA or Obamacare, as it's sometimes known, because it's much too expensive now, and it's not very good.
Leroy Dragons!
Oh my God, he just ran in.
There you go. A callback to yesterday. That is Miss Tilly's orifice in not a Hawker Hurricane not equipped with Miss Tilly's orifice on that one. Where was I? Well, so legal bookie threatened to confront Shohei Ohtani as Ipe Mizuhara ducked calls. So when the bookie that is into you for $40 million, owing $40 million to a bookie, when he calls you, you answer, hey, unnamed bookie, what up? All I can say is if it involves the Mariners, we'll bring it up. I don't even know how the Mariners have done. I know the Kraken are now done at home, not in the playoffs, and they've got one more road series, and then their season all done. Have they stuck? I don't know. Not quite sure. Have you been to a game, Two-Footed Wyatt?
Not a Kraken game yet, no.
I hear nothing but glowing reviews.
I've heard nothing but good things, too.
But the people I know were gifted tickets, so they were right on the plexiglass, which is the only way to see hockey.
Yeah, exactly. You got to get up close and personal with it, and then you just got to cross your fingers there's a fight that goes on.
And just for the record, the quote, as OJ, with surgical gloves on, he had to wear rubber gloves to put on the blood-shrunk gloves. With surgical gloves on, he holds up his hand with the performative, look, I can barely fit my hand in this, but what's the deal? Johnny Cochran, for the record, in his closing argument, said this.
It doesn't fit. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
So there you go. Even the BBC got it right. So it wasn't, he didn't stand up and say, Your Honor, for the opening statement, the attorney for the defense, we're going to show that if stuff doesn't fit, you must acquit. That's not what he did. As OJ is holding his hands up, because that was a Cochran exhibit and a pretty incompetently run prosecution. Because how did the Kraken not make the playoffs in the NHL? How does OJ die a free man? But he did. But, you know, like I say, if you're going to do it accurately.
It doesn't fit. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
And he's pointing to the glove going, it didn't fit. And then you heard the rest. And then Johnny Cochran was wearing a face mask, a balaclava rolled up to his forehead, which was a bit silly. Well, if you don't follow him on the Truth Social, this was what Trump posted. He's doing a thing now where he posts a monologue, and the big opposition get is that Trump's opinion is changing on stuff. And as I'm fond of saying, my favorite one of my favorite Winston Churchill comebacks, when someone called him out on changing his mind, he said, when the facts change, so does my opinion. What do you do? So anyway, because Trump has changed his tune on the severity of Obamacare, and they caught him. And here's how they caught him. This is what he said.
I'm not running to terminate the ACA, as crooked Joe Biden says all over the place. I'm running to close the border, stop inflation, make our economy great, strengthen our military, and make the ACA, or Obamacare, as it's sometimes known, much better, stronger, and far less expensive, because it's much too expensive now, and it's not very good.
And also, by the way, the again, as Mr. Be Objective and Messaging, the fact that you're going to Arizona, home of an issue that is double digits more important to American voters than abortion, because you're just trying to whip abortion up into the top six, and you're ignoring issue number one in that state, issue number two in Maine. They're not worried about Canadians coming over into Maine. That's not the problem. That's not the problem border. But the fact that you would find a reason for Grievance Force One to take Kamala Harris to Arizona so you can spike the football that our health care and our uteruses are being threatened by Trump. just tells you where the priorities are. That you have a gimme. You have a mulligan down there on the border, and just do a drive-by in a Chevy Suburban, get out, shake your head pensively, and say, we've got to do something about this. I'm not going to let the sun come up on Monday without a strong Biden foreign policy initiative to change this mess. But you're not going to. You're going to go there and literally say, where was the quote? Literally say, here's what the second Trump term looks like. More bans, more suffering, less freedom. And it, obviously, it will not be a first-come, first-served sort of crowd. And so just heads up, before close of business here on the West Coast, the luckily, there's those time zones that, as they're busy explaining to her, are advantageous because it's later out west here. So, but I can't see on the publicly available ADSB. I can't see if she's left yet or not. I can't find her. They don't have, funny how they have POTUS schedule up, but they don't have VPOTUS. I don't know what time she gets on Grievance Force One or anything. So I was as surprised by you. First of all, I wasn't surprised that the morning montage worked out so well, but I was surprised that this story, and I played this last hour, but I hadn't heard that there's a guy, as yet, I guess, uncaught, who is troubling Seattle's most protected population, the unhoused, the betented and befentanyled, paid to live on the street, homeless. And some guy is driving an SUV up the holy sanctified sidewalks of 3rd and 2nd Avenue and causing mayhem, and then employing the trick of driving like a maniac to get away without warning in a high-stakes, high-speed chase, knowing that Washington law enforcement will let you go.
Street cameras captured the moment this situation took an especially...
And this is 2nd and James. So the guy pulled over so he could play Got Your Nose.
Dangerous turn. It started when cops pulled over this SUV after they say the driver deliberately ran over nearby homeless tents. Yet, as you see, the driver had no intention of giving up.
Got your nose.
Without warning, they take off into the downtown corridor, leading to a high-stakes, high-speed chase. Police tell Como they ended this pursuit when they learned nobody had been hurt. Yet later on,
meaning they didn't do a pit maneuver and spin the guy out. They just stopped chasing him because it's Seattle, which is in Washington, which still makes it bad copper. If you chase a criminal, even I wonder if that applies if they knew that he was victimizing the betented, befentanyled homeless.
Another emergency in this area. Callers reported that the driver in a car just like this one showed up to the tents that were run over earlier in the night. That driver then fired several gunshots. This case coming only a month and a half after a series of targeted attacks against Seattle's homeless population. As Cuomo reported in February, three different times someone drove onto sidewalks and deliberately struck a homeless person.
Three times. And first I heard about it was this morning. Anyway, this happened last night. It was released last night. It seems like maybe getting a heads up on like, well, what's the vehicle? Is there a better bolo on the vehicle? Only three times. But if you're the guy that's whose hobby is now driving up on sidewalks, running over homeless tents, wouldn't you change up cars or something? I don't know. But because it seems like we could be on to you on this one. The first foreigner ever in Japan's storied history. And I know all about it because episode 8 of Shogun, finally got around to it yesterday.
There you go.
And that's season 1. And I don't know when it's going to restart, but I'll tell you what. You have time to tackle the novel if you have time. It's a biggie, but it's a great one. I can get back to, and I finished up Gangster, which is great. If you like the Guy Ritchie movies, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch, he did this. He produced it, directed a few episodes. You can tell it's, and apparently it is based on kind of the Ritchie comic universe that the movie, the Gentleman, I should say, what did I say, Gangster? The Gentleman, his movie from a couple of years ago. This is kind of that world, the posh guy doing crime with the Yabos and the EastEnders and all that. It's really, really good. And so I have no binging. I've got binge reading to do this weekend, I think. And then what was the... Anyway, never mind my algorithm use on that one. But 54-year-old Chad Rowan was born in Honolulu, Hawaii, like all good people are. But unlike most good people, he decided to get huge. So at 6'8" and 426 pounds, he was crowned, as I'm sure there's a Japanese name for it, the Grand Sumo Master of Japan, the first foreigner, not just a foreigner, but American. And it, his wrestling name, sumo wrestling name, was Akebono Taro, dead at the age of 54. And cause of death, what do you think? If I was the Tokyo Prefecture ME, that's what I would write. Primary cause of death, what do you think? Secondary cause of death, see above. But anyway, he was introduced to a crazy crowd 203cm. Just a few years ago, because they were going to do a sumo versus MMA. And that's not fair, because the MMA guy didn't have to do sumo. They just did MMA. So this guy thought he could transition from being fat, throwing rice, and just bowling you out of the ring to MMA. 190kg. Akebono Taro! The crowd goes wild. He lost a decision, and the crowd went silent. Because in MMA, you can kick and punch. In sumo, those are violations and all that. And so I don't know what they thought would happen on that. But anyway, he will be missed. He's a legend in Hawaii, by the way, because he is the guy that made Hawaiians see that there was another path. He didn't just have to go east to San Jose State because you got an F in geometry. You can go to Japan and make as much, and buy an NFL team if you want. On that. So speaking of OJ, let me get to this. I retweeted something that a woman who, I'll just read it, from Nicole Manet, a polysyllabic overachiever. There you go. And former USC student. So listen to this. Here's a story that was covered up because of an NDA. And will this make news? Because this has been sourced, and this is a true story. Quote, I've been waiting 29 years to tell the story about OJ and his days at USC. Now that he's dead, may he burn in hell, I have a story that I signed an NDA for that is no longer valid. I was a junior at USC working in Topping Student Center, a building, on campus in 1995. I was an administrative assistant to the president of student affairs that semester in the work-study program. In early 1995, Robert Shapiro and Robert Kardashian, USC alumni, walked up to my desk and said they had an appointment with my boss. I was studying to be a criminal defense lawyer with a dual major in poli-sci and international relations, so I knew who they were. The meeting lasted about 30 minutes. After they left, I looked at my boss like, WTF, what's that all about? He walked me outside. We sat by the old sprawling big tree outside Topping, and my boss lit a cigarette for the first time in years, and he told me I had to sign an NDA because I could confirm OJ's lawyers were there for a meeting. Then he told me what the meeting was about. Before OJ could graduate from USC, the university paid off two families of two blonde white girls that he had dated and battered. They had both gone to the LAPD to report it. One claimed he also sexually assaulted her in the relationship. The school had a vested interest in OJ going far in football and protected him at all costs. OJ had been in custody for 6 months back to 1995, and lawyers were in the discovery process for the trial. And OJ's friend, Robert Kardashian, who knew OJ from also being a student at USC, thought it would be best if those stories never saw the light of day. So a large check was written, given to my boss, and they left. I'll never forget holding that check. Now, did you hear about this before now? Nope. That's how much power money enables. After he was acquitted, I changed my major to philosophy psychology. This is also why I abhor the Kardashians, the rich thugs, nothing more. Hashtag OJ is dead. Anyway, you can check that out on my Twitter feed at Dark Secret Place. And we'll do a check-in if you're texting 800-465-8778. Send of the week. That's why we had such a long morning, Montrose. That's why we're going to have such a long check-in of the texting when we come back. AM 770 KTTH. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. Well, this isn't, well, we're checking the texting, by the way, is what we're doing. I'm reacting to a text I just read. This isn't OnlyFans. 206 says, Brian, the new KTTH Brian cam is very sexy, especially when the microphone mount covers your mouth so you look like a masked Zorro. Ay caramba. What the hell? Talking about that one? The one straight ahead?
Must be, yeah.
No, I guess. So wait, what are the ones that are on? When the mic is on, that one's on.
Yeah, I think so. I believe it's the one right in front of you. I haven't been in that studio too much. I don't really know where all the cameras are exactly.
I'm sorry the mic can't help but hide my face because I have to talk into it. So... But anyway, 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits a peso, all for Zorro. Stand up and say so. Brian, thanks to your spectacular producer this week. He turned a train wreck into a wonderful summer picnic. So you've been three of the 5 days is
yes.
2 foot wide. Have you been good about getting the podge up as the hours close out?
I've been getting, like, Monday I figured out through the text that people were wondering where the first hour podcast was. And then I clicked, like, these people want the podcast.
Yeah,
and want
you,
them now.
You learned that lesson once.
Yeah, it only took once, and then it's they've been coming out like hotcakes.
858 says, I lived in Japan for almost a year and went to see a sumo match. They revere those guys as gods. That's crazy. Yeah, there's really, I'd say, you know, when you say, oh, it's like a Babe Ruth, no one reveres Babe Ruth. And then you say, insert favorite baseball player here, probably a Giant. No one does that. And it's nothing like sumo. And sumo is... In Japan, the combination, the marriage between Japanese history and tradition and all that is inseparable. In baseball, we brought that. They liked it. They enjoyed the precision of the game. Before World War II, MacArthur didn't get off a plane and say, I have returned, but this time with a Louisville slugger and a regulation ball. They were down with the baseball. There were Japanese leagues in America of immigrants in the 20s and 30s. There was a huge Japanese baseball league up in Vancouver. When the Japanese interned their Japanese like we did, the league died. And Ebbets Field Flannels does some great old Japanese jerseys and stuff. So, but baseball, while popular in Japan is not even close to having the DNA that, that sumo does. So that's the deal. 253 with a probably a good point here. There needs to be a word for the extreme level of D-bag you have to be for people like OJ who have memes about their death before their body hits room temperature. Yeah, there are words, but the FCC is, I have a prior restraint on that. And by the way, I've got a, let me point this out. I forgot to name the pet of the week, by the way. It turns out to be Pinky the cat again. He just keeps winning. So this one friend of mine was team captain of USC his senior year. He stands out because he has a Greek last name and he was a tailback. And they had a losing record. First losing record in like 50 years. And that was his team. As team captain, he had a little brass tag on his keychain. And I mean, I'm not talking when he was playing. I'm talking, you know, he kept it with him through the context that I know him. And the tweet that I just read you in the break before about the woman who signed the NDA about what about Kardashian and the other OJ lawyer handing over a check to make USC NDA everybody and keep and suppress accounts from when he was on campus when he was assaulting one particular flavor of woman. And now she's not bound by the NDA and she released it. I retweeted it. Anyway, this guy who was a team captain and knows how USC operates, and he absolutely, the scales fell from my eyes about USC and Pete Carroll, by the way. Anyway, he retweeted that same tweet and he said, quote, if you know USC, you know how plausible this story is, close quote. And he burned his bridges with USC. Here's a guy who was team captain, and his dad was a legendary linebacker at USC, and because he's a truth teller, then USC can't handle that. And they covered up for OJ, and they took money to do it, amazingly. And this is, you know, at a time when, let's be honest, does anyone think Pete Carroll just gave the old college try and when he sat in your living room in Long Beach and said he promised to look after your boy as if he was his own and all that? No, he was making promises like, and the best part is, if he still has eligibility for football, he'll never be prosecuted. That's almost Jeremy Stevens-like. That's King County-like. As long as a Tyee Club member is the prosecutor of King County, don't you worry your pretty little head. Get a DUI, roll a car into an old folks' home. As long as you have eligibility, you can still be my tight end. So that's it. Too many streams are crossing now. Anyway, back to the text at this point. Have you curated any that stand out? No cars from China. What about when they build the cars in Mexico? It says 206. And that's the Sherrod Brown, Ohio senator talking about that he doesn't want China-made electric vehicles, but that's what China's already mailed chicken blocked you on that one. They're building factories in Mexico. So they can NAFTA your inflation reduction and make a vehicle in North America. 425, surprised you haven't mentioned the CBS firing of Catherine Herridge, just like Cheryl Atkinson. I mean, I get it. It's a big story. I want to ingest it. It's been a dense news week, okay? I mean, so much so that for the 48th week in a row, we don't have time to name our pet of the week. So as long as I'm bringing it up, it's here we go.
This is Pinky. He's a male cat.
Have you ever seen this?
No, I have not.
Guy in badge sitting there on the bench with Pinky the cat.
Domestic short hair. He's available for adoption. He's pet of the week. Placer County Animal Shelter. He's a very loving cat.
So he has a cat in one of those harnesses with a leash on it, which cats just love being on a leash.
Pinky, whoa.
Pinky goes ape blank on this one. It's just a hilarious video. And you know what? Because it's Friday, and you don't care if your boss catches you. There you go. Repost it. Play with the volume up so that I don't have to. And so do they box the cat?
Pinky?
Just sit over.
No.
Get a catch pole.
Get off of the ghetto?
Yeah, because I'm not going to grab you.
Dude.
Watch it, he's caught up in there. Yeah, just disconnected from the deck. Ah!
So the cat climbs his jeans as if they're a tree, gets up to the crotchal region.
That's amazing. Pinky just wanted out of there.
It wrapped the leash around his leg to get leverage.
Naked from the dead.
Gets him right in the doodad. Also, it's the claws and the teeth. And it's locked on. So anyway.
That's amazing.
That's so funny. Asterisk, Pinky was undeclared pet of the week and was euthanized 10 minutes later or fed to a coyote or something because it's Placer County. But so anyway, well, we'll wrap up the week. Perhaps another folksy war story anecdote. I don't know. I just really don't know. And maybe more of a final bite of checking the texting. And stuff. So we close out. Or you're checking the texting or wrap up the week thing. A forecast about this exclusive story in the Wall Street Journal. Iranian attack expected on Israel in next 2 days. Is that valid or not? And dragon fire. This is such a great. Only Britain. UK laser could be used against Russian drones on Ukraine front line. And ours is like morning dew or something. We're thinking about the shipborne laser, anti-missile laser, too. The British, which brought you the air-launched cruise missile called the Storm Shadow, they go all Game of Thrones on this one. Dragonfire. So anyway, there's no log. It's stealing someone else's weapon name. Anyway, back in a second, AM 770 KTTH. I'm 770 KTTH Brian Suits here for the last time. We'll restart a new week next week. Will Iran attack in the next 48 hours? And if so, will it be based? Well, because diplomatically, there's a different set of rules. If you launch a weapon system from your soil and hit my soil, kill my people, which is part of the reason the Israelis did a decapitation strike on the Iranian consulate in Damascus, not in Iran. And I heard from the same school of thought as people who say, well, violence never solved anything or whatever. I heard a guy on this one channel, and he was just belittling the Israeli thought. Anyway, saying, well, decapitation strikes never work. He's I don't know where the hell he got that. In the military, if you know exactly where someone's going to be and they're pivotal, they're decision makers, you kill them. If you can. Or if you do it and it turns out the table is too heavy and you don't kill your Führer, well, you're going to have an appointment with the firing squad, guys. Bad scene on that one. And, you know, the fact that we didn't kill Saddam on the opening night of Iraqi freedom, we were trying to, but he knew that, too. That's the other thing there is it really helps if you surprise him with that. And so that's why that worked. The Iranians thought there's no way they could know that our families and that we live here and the whole thing. They didn't know that their signals have all been grabbed by Israel and by us. And if not Iranian signals, then we've grabbed Syrian signals. But I was starting to think, well, what's the most famous decapitation strike? It was when the United States killed Yamamoto in World War II, the mastermind of Pearl Harbor, the commander-in-chief of the Japanese combined fleet and all this. So Two-Footed Wyatt has been filling in very, very ably. Beloved Two-Footed Wyatt now at this point. You get to wear the sash of beloved fill-in producer.
I like that. I'm gonna rock that to my grave.
Believe the blue one. Take the purple one. It's a better one.
Yeah, okay.
Have you ever seen The Last Samurai?
I have. Great movie.
Not a bad movie.
Yeah, good movie.
Tom Cruise may be wacky, but he's had a spate. As he gets older, the movies get better. That's based on a true period in Japanese history. When the last stand of the last clans of the samurais were trying, would not yield to the young emperor that, hey, look, we're going to be a modern country. Grab a gun, put that sword down, for God's sake. And here's why. And the emperor was sucking up to France and England and the United States. And there was a final thing called the Boshin War. And because right now, go to a Barnes & Noble, go to any used bookstore. Who is the comedian? I forget his name, but he said it's like all of our dads are studying for a World War II trivia contest. It's World War II shelves and Barnes & Noble are wide open and all this. And I knew this, but I didn't know more about it. But as I was wondering, well, it's actually the exception that a well-planned decapitation strike doesn't work. And in the case of 1943, we didn't know. In 1943, the Pacific War was a coin flip. It wasn't, but we didn't know that. But the 1942 Battle of Midway was actually the turning point. That was the high tide of Pearl Harbor's conquest was right before we sunk four of their carriers at Midway. It was all done, but for the shouting at that point. But Yamamoto, still a genius, you have to respect him as a opponent. So here's my Miss Tilly's Orifice fun fact about Yamamoto. There's an old saying, when you aim for the king, you can't miss. Meaning you can't miss, not like it's a sure thing, meaning you better not miss. All right? See von Stauffenberg, 1944. Did he see Christmas that year? He did not. Why? He didn't bring a big enough bomb. Because the fear survived. So we had broken the Japanese code, but we couldn't let them know that, or else they would what? Change the code. And a message was decoded in the Pacific that Admiral Isoroku Yamamoto, or actually Yamamoto Isoroku, would be arriving for inspection on the Pacific island of Rabaul, which is a gigantic Japanese logistical and actual airstrip combat base that doesn't have a movie or a series, a Spielberg series. So for sure, we know that he's precise. He's on time. When they send a message, have a honor guard ready next Tuesday with the date and time, U.S. knew, okay, we have his route. We have the plane he's going to be in. It's going to be a Mitsubishi G4M Betty bomber, twin-engine bomber. That's how he gets around. He's going to be escorted. We got to shoot him down. And the debate was, but if we do that, they'll wonder how we knew. And then they'll know we broke their code. And they went, wow, let's make it look like a random patrol. And they said, what, random patrol 300 miles away? Can't be done. So they said, well, let's put super extra long range drop tanks on P-38 Lightnings, the coolest looking fighter in World War II. And then they'll just randomly intercept him as he's on final to land at Rabaul. Which is exactly what happened. They jumped the Yamamoto plane. It crashed into the jungle. It's there to this day. And because many here's the knowledge I'm going to give you. Besides, don't stare at the sun, and don't drive on the sidewalks and run over the homeless tents and things like that. All the other lessons we've learned today. Don't put the mic in that guy's face and expect to get a usable quote. Isoroku Yamamoto in America, Yamamoto Isoroku, was adopted. His real name was Tanaka Isoroku. He was adopted by the Yamamoto clan because the Dodgers have a pitcher named Yamamoto. He's actually a Yamamoto from the Yamamoto family. The Japanese had this tradition, especially since the Yamamotos, I mean, we're running out of sons because they were fighting for years and years and years. They had a tradition that if you had an outstanding son that a clan lord could adopt and pull into the family, you could present him. And Isoroku was outstanding from an early age, clearly a brilliant guy with the math, with the history, with the language, with the poetry, everything. So Sadayoshi Tanaka, his father, presented him to the lord, the head of the Yamamoto clan. And he was a samurai himself. He was a distinguished samurai who had several sons ahead of Isoroku. And a Soroku, by the way, is Japanese for 56. Because when Isoroku Yamamoto was born, his father was 56. And he presented his son to the lord of the Yamamoto clan, clearly a genius of a kid. And the Yamamoto clan said, "We adopt thee." And so he changed his name from Tanaka to Yamamoto. So that's the backstory of that. Because when the Japanese soldiers found the wreckage, his chair had been thrown clear and he was literally sitting up in the jungle and still clutching his sword, his katana, his sword. And so anyway, the Israelis did not debate last week, will a decapitation strike paralyze the Quds force and Hezbollah and Hamas from getting more resupplies from the Iranians? They knew, of course they were. That was the entire point of the post-1972 Olympics thing. Kill the guys that did it. Go up the chain, create chaos. And it did, it worked. Right now what's going on in Tehran is complete chaos about who's going to be in, who wants to be next. They actually think like that. And the Iranians know that if they do what was planted in the Wall Street Journal today, because so that way they know that we know that it could be the end of their nuclear program. We could finally admit what's going on there and bomb it. Anyway, that's your story of Yamamoto's orifice. all right, so at Dark Secret Place, get the app, 800-465-8770. Everyone have a good weekend, and we'll see you back here at 6 a.m. on Monday. Thank you very much for Two-Footed Wyatt for being a good producer this week. See you all. Be safe. AM 770 KTTH.
I'm pretty tired. Think I'll go home now.